We're going to talk about communion today. We're going to talk about the Lord's Supper today. Excuse me. And before I get started with you guys, I want to start with the kids. So can the kids come forward? All the way up here, not on the pews. Want to talk to you guys up here. Throat is dry today. Come on up, on up. Everett's not making the trip. It's all right. All right, where are we going to stand? We don't need to stand. Let's go over here. On over here. We got this nice little empty space over here. All right. So we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper today. What do you guys know about the Lord's Supper? You can sit down. You can sit down. Go ahead, Bella. What do you guys know about the Lord's Supper? Or gals? There's no guys up here except me. Or communion. What do you know about it? Anything? No? We need to talk. Yeah. Do you know what we do for communion? How do we observe it? What do we do? Megan, what do we do? What? You said something. Bread. And grape juice, right? Right. Why do we eat bread and drink juice? Is it important? Do you think communion is important? Yeah. Well, why wouldn't it be, right? Because we're doing it at church, right? We're doing it with our church family. What are we doing when we're taking the bread and taking the juice? Do you know? I'm going to try and be as non-gruesome as we can because this can be a gruesome subject. And you guys, I want you to be able to sleep. So what is it? You guys know? I've got some stuff to talk about with you. Let me get my stuff. And I want to show you. Okay. We got a busy couple weeks coming up, don't we? What's coming up here real soon? Easter, right. So we got Easter in 2 weeks, which means next week is what? What's the Sunday before Easter? Palm Sunday. What's Palm Sunday? What's that celebrate? Remember? What's that? Palm leaves. You remember the palm leaves? Great. Okay. Well, it's about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that final week before, you know, he went to the cross, right? We call that the triumphal entry. He's riding a donkey in the town. And what's that? The palm leaves are on the ground. Why were they throwing palm leaves on the ground? Don't go into too much because we're going to talk about it next week maybe. Because the more I talk to you, the less I have to talk to those guys, and they actually appreciate it, just so you know, all right? It's a sign of respect, right? But, you know, what were they doing? They were shouting and they were happy that Jesus was coming into town, right? And then the next Sunday is what? Easter. What do we celebrate on Easter? It's the big thing that happened on Easter morning. Huh? The Easter bunny comes. The Easter bunny comes, huh? I'll let Mom burst that bubble, all right? Now, what else happens on Easter morning? What do we celebrate on Easter morning? What happened on the first Easter morning? Jesus came back from the grave, right? You know, the tomb opened and everything. Yeah, exactly. Well, right in the middle of those two things, there's an event that they celebrated called the Passover, right? And that's why Jesus was eating with his disciples in the upper room, right? And what is the Passover all about? Do you guys really know it real quick? Remember when Israel was in Egypt and God sent those plagues down on Egypt to get them to let Israel go? The last one was all the firstborn males. He was going to kill all of them. Except for Israel, if they did one thing. They had to sacrifice a lamb. And here's part of the gruesome part, sorry. They had to take some of the blood and put it on their doorposts. And the Spirit of God would pass over them so that they weren't affected by this. And God said, remember what I did for you every year. I want you to celebrate this. So that's what they were doing. They were celebrating that Passover. But Jesus had something else in mind for this Passover. What did he do? You know, Megan? This is where what we call the Lord's Supper comes into play. While he was eating dinner with his disciples, he took some bread and he broke it. You know, their bread wasn't like our bread that we have here. It's like flat, unleavened bread. It means no yeast on it. It didn't rise up. And he broke it. Let me read some scripture for you here. What have I got here? Yeah, that's the one. Let me get my stuff. I can't read all of it because I'm too close. In Matthew, we're going to read Matthew's on this for you guys. He says, now as they were eating, this is in the upper room, okay? Jesus took bread and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. This sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? So this is my body. And he took a cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yeah, that's where we're going to stop. So he took the bread and he broke it and he says, this is my body given for you. Come on. Show you what we got. The ladies pulled out all the stops for me today. We have bread. And he took it and he broke it, just like this. Okay? And he offered it to them. He says, take. You see what I did? I broke it. Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen to my body. They didn't know what was going on yet. He says, I'm giving you my body. It'll be broken for you. Why did he have to do that? He was preparing them for what was going to happen the next day. Because what do we celebrate on Easter? When he came back from the grave, which means he had to go into it, right? This is Jesus' way of saying, this is what I have to do for you. And they didn't understand it yet. He said that, as a matter of fact. He's like, you really don't understand what I'm telling you now, but you will. Okay? What about the second part? We drink juice. They drink wine. That's okay. The juice is what? The juice resembles or represents what? His blood. It wasn't so much the blood being poured out to pay for it. His life paid for everything, right? But it was a covenant. You guys know what a covenant is? It says drink of it. This the blood of the covenant. It says a covenant is a contract. What's a contract? You know what a contract is? It means people sign this and they agree to whatever's written on this thing. All right? You know, I make a contract. I say, you know, Jake is the best. I make your mom sign it. And she goes, no. And she rips it up like that bread. But no, Jesus is saying, I am signing this contract with me. I'm giving you my life. And God says, you know, the blood is where our life is contained. And so that's why it's important. And I want you guys to realize that we do this in remembrance. We do it, how often? You guys know? We do it the first Sunday of every quarter and then a couple other times through the year. Maundy Thursday, which is right between Easter and Palm Sunday, which is happened just before this, actually, in the upper room. And then we're talking about the washing of feet, right? And he washed their feet and then they ate bread. Hopefully they washed, right? But yeah, we do this often. Jesus told us to. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And in 1 Corinthians it says, do this as often as you do it, remember of me. In other words, we're supposed to do this. Remember, they did the Passover meal once a year to remember what God did for Israel, bringing them out of Egypt. Jesus says, do this a lot to remember me and what I did for you. So what do you think about communion then, and about the Lord's Supper? Interesting? Is it important? Is it important to remember what Jesus did for us? Yeah. Is it important to do this with a true and humble heart? Yeah, we're going to talk to them about that a little bit, and myself. But you have any questions about the Lord's Supper or the communion meal? Do you have any questions about it? Now's the time. Or forever hold your peace. No, you can ask anytime, but no questions? Nothing? Not a thing? All right. Can we pray with you about what Jesus did for us? Do you guys want to pray? Silence. Let's pray real quick, okay? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and what he did for us, giving his life for us so that we may have life with you. Father, I ask you to watch over these girls and all the other kids in our church, and just as you watch them grow and as we watch them grow, that they grow in you and they grow their faith in you and they grow their boldness in you as well. So, Father, we just ask your blessings upon each and every one of them, and just help us as we help them grow. Grow in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to mom and dad. Punky. Ow. Ow. You're a whiner. I wanted to talk to the kids because it was like, I think that sometimes we overlook their understanding of the Lord's Supper. And so now as we move to the bigger kids, I want to go through a different set of scripture. The Lord's Supper is recorded in three of the Gospels, three of the four. It's not in John, which is kind of strikes me a little bit that it's not in John. You know, the disciple whom he loved is the way he describes himself. But it's in the other three in various ways of or other. So Luke 22 says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He's setting them up. He's letting them know. He's giving them that hint. He says, "Before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes." He's like, "Take this, divide it." He's preparing them for the rest of the meal. He says, "And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." He tore it apart. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul adds on, "As often as you do it, do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you. That is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." He's saying, look, he says, "I want you guys to know that I'm doing this for you." He says, what's about to happen, I'm preparing you so that you understand what's going on. I'm doing this for you. I'm giving my body to be broken for you. And I'm signing the contract in my own blood, being poured out for you. And he says, "By the way, one of you guys here sitting with me right now is going to betray me. I already know it. You already know it." And he sets them all on edge. And he's saying, in a way, look, he says, "I'm doing this for him too." In other words, he's saying, "I have no partiality. I don't care who you are. I am doing this for you. I'm delivering myself over to you. Or for your salvation, for the payments of your sin." And he says, "You don't understand what I'm doing yet, but you will." Just like he did before this when he was washing their feet. He says, "Right now you don't understand what I'm doing, but you will later." He says, "Do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread." And this isn't the only time where Jesus calls himself bread or uses bread to refer to his body. Matter of fact, if we go to John 6, matter of fact, we will. It says, John 6 says, "So they said to him," and this is right after he fed like the 5,000 with the couple fish and the couple loaves of bread, all right? And I don't think they were ginormous loaves of bread or huge fish, right? He says, they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you?" Because these guys came back the next day. They hunted him down, as a matter of fact. They came back the next day after all this. He says, what work will you perform? He says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave them the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, these guys came back and Jesus was kind of saying to them, look, you came back today because I fed you yesterday and you wanted another free meal. And they're even kind of saying, he says, look, he says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They didn't have to pay for it. God just gave it to them. What are you going to give me? Jesus gives them a reminder. He says, first of all, Moses didn't give the manna. So that came from God. That came from my Father. But they're like, me, stuff. I want. What's God going to do for me? And as we look on this, on the scripture, and think about the bread that we're going to take here in a little bit, and he says, you know, that my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. My Father is still providing for you. But as we're looking, going through things, and we're going to take that moment of reflection, but think of these guys that are having the me. What about me? What are you going to give me? Attitudes. And I want to challenge you, if you're not already doing this, start. Or as you're reading through Scripture, and we run into guys like this, or as we think about the scribes and the Pharisees, as we think about the Jonahs, and we think about the people that are running from God and stuff, realize that when we say, man, these guys are some real scumbags. Think that scripture is not just to remind us of what those guys are, but what we were. Read your own name in there. Because I think if we did some real deep soul diving, we'd realize we still have this in our hearts to some extent. You know, what's God going to do for us? And I know a lot of us are going through this right now, and that's why it's kind of tough to talk about right now. But we need to. Because we need to understand that God already is providing. He provided the best for us already. That bread of God he sent down from the world, or sent down from heaven and gives to the world, that's Jesus. He says, look, I am the bread of life. Matter of fact, he says it right next. They said to him, sir, give us this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. You come to me, you've got all you need. You may not have all you want, but you've got all you need. You come to me in that humble and contrite spirit. He says, I'm already sent for you. I am the bread of life. He is that nourishment for us, that soul nourishment, that spiritual nourishment. And we celebrate it by real bread to remind us of that broken body that was sent down from heaven, that feeds that hunger, that fills that space, that empty space that only God can fill. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Probably because being in Jesus and being with Jesus means you're also part of a huge collective of people that are there the same. And it was mentioned a couple times this morning in our prayer time, where you end up with this. You end up with a family that cares about you and pulls together. And there's so many other ones as well that are nourishing you because they believe in this bread. They believe in that nourishment. They believe in that filling. They said, hey, I've got something to provide. I have extra bread. So as we prepare this morning to take the Lord's Supper, remember that. This is about nourishment. This is about all of these things wrapped up into one. And Jesus says, I am the bread. And at the supper table in the upper room, he says, this bread represents my body. God sent it. He gave it to you freely. And I'm giving it freely tomorrow to be broken, to be punished, to be hung up on a cross. But I willingly do this. And he says, take this cup and remember me. Remember my blood that was poured out for you. Covenants in the Old Testament especially, they didn't have pages and pages of stuff. They had witnesses that witnessed a covenant between two people or two parties or whatever. And it usually involved killing an animal because the blood was the signature of the covenant. And Jesus says, this is my blood that is the new covenant, the new testament, the new contract, the new life for you, poured out for you. The life that he gave already paid for the sins. But the blood was the signature on the bill. And that's why we take this in remembrance of him. And we take it often in remembrance of him. And as we look at the early church, I'm going to show you some examples here. In Acts 2, the Acts 2 churches, this is the birth of the church. Acts 2:42, starting there anyway, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. That breaking of bread, that's taking the Lord's Supper. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They didn't just go to church to break bread. They went to people's homes. Now, some of these are meals, but we're not talking about that. He says, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day. In chapter 20, this is Paul. It says, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Sunday. We see them already gathering on Sunday to break bread. It doesn't say to worship. It doesn't say to sing songs. That happened. But it says, when we gathered together to break bread. See, the Lord's Supper was central to their worship, central to their remembrance of Jesus Christ. And it says, they gathered together to break bread. Paul talked with them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. I don't know when he started, but he just kept going. And yeah, this is the story with the guy falling asleep and falling out the window, and Paul going and resurrecting him, and Jesus or God resurrecting him, but bringing him back. But then at the end, he says, and when Paul had gone up and he had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak and departed. In other words, they would stay up all night during these worship services, all day, all night, together, gathered together, breaking bread, remembering why they were breaking bread. And later he tells us the importance of why they would do this. But back to the how often to take. In the early church, it almost seems like they were taking it every day. And then there in chapter 20, we see where at least they were gathering on Sundays to take the Lord's Supper. They were taking it every week because this was an important part of their worship, because it says, we are going to remember what Jesus did for us every time we get together. And then it kind of, during some of the early reformers, this was kind of a heated topic of communion. Some of them thought you only needed to take it once a year. Kind of like Passover. God says Passover's once a year. You know what? If you take this Passover, or you take this meal once a year in remembrance, that's good. Some say take it every month. Some take it every quarter. We take it every quarter. And on Monday, Thursday, and then any other times during the time. The important thing is, as often as you take it, to take it correctly, to take it with God in your heart, with the Spirit of Jesus in your heart, and with nothing holding you back, which is what Paul is kind of talking about here. He says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on that night when he was betrayed took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. There's the as often. He doesn't really say how often to do it. In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, until he returns. This is our way of remembering what Jesus did for us until he comes back to take us home. He says, as often as you do it, you are proclaiming, you are telling out, you are speaking, you are testifying Jesus Christ to others, amongst our believers, and anybody that's not a believer that might be with you. You're proclaiming it. You're projecting it. And then he says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, don't take it with sin in your heart or with things on your mind, or, you know, if you've got, other scripture tells us, if you've got something against your brother, it says, put your offering aside and go take care of that and then come back. And this is what that moment of reflection and preparation that we give is all about, to prepare our souls, to prepare, you know, prepare in prayer, to prepare before God to take the Lord's Supper. He says, because we'd be guilty of concerning the body and blood of the Lord. It'd be like taking it in vain, using the God's name in vain. That kind of stuff is really what he's talking about here. He says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. It's not just something we do. It's something that has deep, deep meaning to us and to God. And it's a way of celebrating many times throughout the year what we celebrate that entire Easter week. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's that reminder over and over again that, yeah, this is what he did for us. That's why we do it more than once a year. I want to celebrate what he has done for us. And he nourishes us through that by giving us the bread and giving us the juice. Nourishes our spirit, nourishes our soul, nourishes our bodies. No matter how often you take communion, the important thing to remember is this, what it represents. That through it, we are remembering our Lord and Savior, sacrificially giving his life for our eternal salvation. It says, though we, and also it represents that though, or through it, we are joining with him in his suffering. We're remembering that suffering also. And through it, we're giving thanks for that perfect Lamb whose stripes and flowing blood make us free from the grips of slavery and sin. And through it, we realize that our freedom from our former stained selves came at a very high price, and a price that we didn't have to pay. Which is why Paul warns us in that verse about taking it correctly. So, anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is welcome to come to the table and take the Lord's Supper with us. And before I call you forward, please, please, please take a few moments to prepare yourselves. Heed Paul's words. Examine yourself in prayer. Prepare yourself in prayer. No one's required to take the bread and wine. If for any reason you feel you can't take with us, that's between you and God. No one is going to judge you here. And it's because of that right there where he says to reflect on yourself. This is a you and God thing. During one of my classes, I'm just going to put this out there. During one of my classes, we were talking about communion. And it can be a touchy subject when you're having classes with different denominations. You know, what communion is all about, what the elements represent or what is in them. how often you take it. And when we broke up for the class, after the class was done, some of us stayed behind to talk about it. And my professor goes, "You look like you're chewing on something." I said, "Yeah." I said, "We didn't talk about one thing." I said, "How fresh it is when somebody, you know where they are with God, you know that this is one of His children, and they choose not to take communion because there's something going on in their lives, because they don't want to stain that." And we didn't talk about that. And he's like, "You're right, we didn't." I said, "There's just something about it where you know even deeper where that person is. So don't feel like there's any eyes on you. If there is, I'm not telling you not to take it, but I'm just saying this, that's how important this is to reflect on. So it's better to not take this time if you feel improper, and resolve whatever you need to be resolved and join with us next time. But go ahead, prepare yourselves for Holy Communion.